All right, we're in 1 Kings, the second chapter. 1 Kings, the second chapter. And this is a pretty exciting chapter. The title of this message today is Solomon's Rat Killing. Solomon's Rat Killing. All right. Solomon's Rat Killing.
I ran ahead, but I don't quite remember that part.
Solomon's Rat Killing? But we'll get to it. I hope that we'll...
Now, this is the one that Solomon is from, the one he got pregnant.
Yes, that's from Bathsheba. That's Bathsheba's son. This is their next son, Solomon is.
But he put her in a place part of... They never knew each other again after that.
Oh, no, yes, they did. Yes, they did. The one he didn't know was Saul's daughter, Michal. Michal, basically, David gave her a divorce. He put her up on a hilltop over there and said, stay there, I don't want to see you no more.
That's
when she insulted him. That was the end of her. She had no more children by David. He didn't have anything to do with her afterwards. That was Michal. All right. Bathsheba, yes, he did. All right. 1 Kings, the second chapter. Solomon's rat killing. 1 Kings chapter 2. Anna, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
As the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go.
All right. That's good. Now, this was a charge. Solomon should have heeded this. He should have heeded this. If he had heeded this, he would have done real well. All right. Now, number four, Dr. John.
That the Lord may fulfill his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.
All right. Now here we get to the rat killing. Have you ever done any rat killing, Brother Brett?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, cockroach stomping and rat killing. Okay. Now we know all about that stuff. You know why they originally made cowboy boots? With sharp toes? So you get the cockroaches in the corner. That was why. Rat killing and cockroach stomping. That's where we are today. All right. So they won't. Now number five, Dr. John.
Remember, you learn how to shoot better.
Yeah. I had a mouse one time come in the house. That thing would come in the house every day, and I couldn't catch him in a trap. And my son reminded me, he said, remember when you got that .22 rifle out, Dad, and shot that mouse? I said, yeah. He said, that remind me of that book, Shadow of an Indian Star. Go ahead.
Five. Moreover, you know also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed. And he shed the blood of war in peacetime, and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist, and on his sandals, and were on his feet.
In other words, wherever he went, whatever he did, he was a man of blood. He was a killer. Joab was a killer. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Joab did some very wise things, but he murdered. He murdered. He was a murderer. And he did some things, and one especially that he did, you know, he killed the one he killed. Well, see, you know, he's related to David also. All of these guys were related to David. And he was killing some of his own relatives. Sound like Sam Baldwin. That much. All right, it was really a Wild West show there. They were really killing each other right and left. And Joab was the main instigator of all the killing. So David says, it's time for the chickens to come home to roost now. I didn't do it in my lifetime. All right? So, he shed the blood of war and peace. David had made a peace covenant. And he killed the man. Walked up to him and stuck a knife in him. And David was upset. He could have had Joab killed then, but he didn't. He let him live, I think, because of David's mercy. But now the mercy ends. Mercy ends and paybacks come. This is when the rat killing and the cockroach stomping begin. Brother John, number 6.
Therefore, do according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace.
All right, it's not grave. That's a bad translation. That's Sheol. Now, what's the difference between Sheol and Queaver? Queaver, it's not Queaver. Queaver is something you dig. It's a place where you bury a body. Sheol is the place of departed spirits. You can dig a Queaver, but you can't dig a Sheol. Now, I invented that little thing there, but you can dig a Queaver, but you can't dig a Sheol, and no, he's not going to go down to the grave. That's where a lot of translators have made a mistake, and that's where the Jehovah Witnesses take seed on, go to seed on it when they do. You got to remember, he didn't go down to Sheol in peace. Went down to the grave in peace, but he went down to Sheol. Don't let him go down to Sheol in peace. All right? The netherworld, Sheol, the place to ask about. All right? Number 7, Linda.
But show kindness to the sons of
Barzillai.
Give it to me when I can't pronounce it.
Okay.
The
Gileadite.
Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For so they came to me when I fled from Absalom, your brother.
Okay, now here's another problem. Now we come up to some more rat killing and cockroach stomping. All right? Joanne, number 8. Are you over there?
And remember Shimei, son of Zerah, the man from Bethlehem in Benjamin. He cursed me with a terrible curse as I was fleeing to Mahanaim when he came down to meet me at the Jordan River. Swore by the Lord that I would not kill him, but that oath does not make him innocent. You are a wise man, and you will know how to arrange the bloody death for him.
Shimei is going to go now too. I told you about the rat killing and the cockroach stomping. This is it, boy. Huh? That this is it. He's going to clean up the mess. If he doesn't clean up the mess, his throne won't be safe. I'm going to tell you. If I doesn't clean up this mess, the throne won't be safe, Brother Rex.
I'm always running across this word, the throne, the city of David.
The what?
The city of David.
The city of David, yes.
What is it?
It's basically near Jerusalem, the city of David.
It is a separate city, though.
Yes, it's called the city. You can go over there and see the city of David today. It's just a little area. It's like we have the Mosque of Omar. You have East Bakersfield. You have the so-and-so. You have the Hillcrest area and all of that. That's like it was right at this time. It's just a different place. Yeah. These are all different little cities. Okay. This different little areas. All right. Jerusalem had all those gates. The Sheep Gate. Damascus Gate. Stephen's Gate. All of the different gates of Jerusalem. You can look over there at that old... picture
we had,
there.
We had Kern Town and we had
Old Kern.
Old Kern.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's just like different areas. Where you used to live over there was what was called the over this direction, you know. What was that over there where the doctors
were?
No. The area where you lived over there by Montgomery Wards.
Oh, Westchester.
Westchester. That used to be Westchester area. That's like what you're talking. There's different areas, okay? It's all the one town, but it's different areas, all right? All right. And therefore, do not let him go unpunished, for you are a wise man, and you will know what you ought to do, and you will bring his gray hair down to Sheol with blood. All right, down to Sheol. Where is Sheol? The place of departed spirits. It's not the grave. Forget the grave business. It's not Queaver. All right? It's Sheol. Sheol is the Hebrew word for the place of departed spirits, and Hades is the Greek word for it. They're the Greek and Hebrew equivalents. All right, Sheolus. Something like this. And Hades.
One of these days he'll bring his own, huh?
All right. He's not going to. Sheol and Hades, all right? Sheol and Hades. They're the same word, the grave is menemion in Greek, and it's quiver in Hebrew. All right? Quiver is not where you go when you die. Your body goes and is deposited there in the quiver. Your body is deposited in a menemion. We have a memorial service in English, comes from the word menemion. All right?
Menemion memorial?
Yeah, memorial. Menemion. All right, now where did we end up? Number 10?
Yeah,
number 10. All right. Brett, have you got that Anglican copy? First Kings, the second chapter and verse 10. All right, Dr. John, you start off right there.
So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years.
All right. So he reigned 40 years altogether, didn't he? 40 years altogether. That's quite a while, isn't it?
I don't know, chapter 2.
All right. Well, we're still talking about this. Just hold your place there. I was going to let Joseph read.
Okay.
Yeah. In just a minute. All right. Now, here we have he's reigned 40 years. 40 is a number in the Bible that's very important. Remember that. 40, 40, 40s, 7s and 40s and 6s and all that. Okay? Remember that. He reigned for 40 years now. And then number 12, Brother Joseph.
Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established.
All right. Now, how did he sit and his kingdom was established?
Firmly.
Firmly, because he got rid of Shimei. And he got rid of Joab, didn't he? He got rid of all the rats that were in the bunch. And David took care of it. Now here we come to Adonijah. Adonijah. All right? The Lord is Jehovah. That's what his name means, Adonijah. All right?
I got a question.
Yes?
You said something when we first started about the guy that had murdered. He had murdered, and that's why David wanted Solomon to kill him.
Yes.
Well, when Solomon starts with these rascals here, it's not murder.
It's retribution.
Retribution.
This is what we call the rat killing. Extermination. Exterminate them, okay? He exterminated the rats.
Contamination.
David had a certain amount. Well, you know, Joab was his relative, for one thing. But he thought, and I'm sure David was right, that if Joab remained there as the commander of the army, that sooner or later there might be some problems. Solomon may not be firmly established on the throne. Okay? He may not be firmly established on the throne. Okay, so now his throne is established because he got rid of the rat killing, okay? And number 13, Brother Joseph there.
And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Beth Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably."
Okay, now here's the rascal, Adonijah, that tried to take the kingdom away from David while he was still alive. And David had to intercede here and name his son Solomon to go on the throne. So Adonijah, and then he goes and he begs Solomon's forgiveness. And he says, "Oh, please forgive me." Now, we see the little cockroach sticking his head back up. The little rat come out of the corner. I had that rat that time coming in the house, and I'd be watching TV. I was laid up with my bad back and everything else. I was sitting there studying, and the kids would be watching TV and everything, and here this rat would come in every time. Come in, we tried to stop him from coming in. Rats can get in little bitty areas. That rascal would come in, he'd run across the house and over there like that. So I went in there and got my old Sam Paul's, you know, the old Sam Paul's grandson's rifle there, my grandpa's rifle. And I loaded it up, And I was sitting down there ready for that rat to come in. And when he came in and stuck around over there, I got him right in the corner. I got him. That was the rat killing. Okay? Now, Adonijah, here comes this rascal. Now, he's another rat. Okay? Brother Bill, number 14.
Moreover, he said, I have something to say to you, and she said, say it.
Okay, now here, this guy is real dumb. This guy is real dumb. Okay? Real dumb. Number 15 now, Dr. John.
Then he said, you know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectations on me that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord.
Okay, now, oh yeah, this is, it was his from the Lord, all right. It's his brother. But now let's see what he asked for, Brother Brett. What does he ask for? What does he ask for? Number 16.
Okay, he asked for. And now I ask one petition of thee, 90 not. And she said unto him, say on. And he said, speak, I pray, thee unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee yea, that he gave me.
He what? What did it say?
It's in parentheses. It says, for he will not say thee yea.
That's old English, all right. He won't tell you no. He won't refuse your request, all right?
Yeah, and he says that he give me Abishag, I guess it's Abishag, the Shunammite's wife.
Shunammite for a wife. Now, who was this? Who was this Abishag? Who was she?
She was the one that put in bed with David.
She was a beautiful young girl that they had given to David for a wife. Now, she was his wife. This was David's wife.
Is this the last one?
The last one. Now, he never consummated the marriage, but she was really his wife. So now he's wanting the king's wife for his wife. Did he have any right to ask for that?
No,
that's wrong. An ace in the hole. That's right. So now we've got old Adonijah here. He's causing some trouble. All right. Number 18 now, Brother John.
Bathsheba said, very well, I will speak for you to the king. Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right
hand. Had a throne set for the king's mother.
Well, it's interesting.
She sat on the throne.
The king never bows to anyone. You have to bow. And then
yes, even his mother, even his wife. Remember when Bathsheba? Remember when Bathsheba came into David? She went prostrate on the ground. She face down on the ground. Even to her husband. He was the king. These are Oriental monarchs. These are powerful beings.
So this shows how much that Solomon loved his mother.
Yes. All right. So now read that again. So this is very important.
And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down at his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand.
All right. Now this is how much he loved his mother. Yeah. Now he's not going to refuse what she asked, is he?
Big sign of respect.
That's right.
Yeah,
he really loved his mother. His mother's the one got him on the throne, wasn't she?
That's true.
Well, didn't she go to David to get him on the throne? And he knows that. All right. All right, number 20 now.
Then she said, I desire one small petition of you. Do not refuse me. And the king said to her, ask it, my mother, for I will not refuse you.
Oh, boy. Here it is. Now, this is the problem. The rat stuck his head out. Brother Bill.
So she said, let Abishag, the Shunammite, be given to Adonai, your brother as wife.
Okay, now what is her answer now? What's her answer? Linda?
The King Solomon answered and said to... which one are we on?
22. You're in the right place.
Okay. And said to his mother, now why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite?
Shunammite?
Adonijah?
Adonijah.
And Adonijah. Uh-huh. Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my older brother, for him and for Abiathar, the priest, and for Joab, the son of Zeruiah.
Boy, now Solomon got a little bit upset with Mama.
Yep.
He said, "Why didn't you just ask for the throne? Just give it somebody into somebody else's hand? Because here was the king's wife." All right. Now, this was the king's wife, wasn't it? Now, let's just look and see what this rascal was trying to do. All right. How about the when a brother died, or a king died, and he didn't have any seed left behind, and he left a wife, what did the brother or what did the brother or the son supposed to do for the brother when he died? She's supposed to go into that wife, and the child that rose up would be the heir. Do you see what this rascal's going to do? He's going to marry David's wife, and that child will be there. Okay?
So somehow he's still going
to
try and...
He's still trying to mess with Solomon. He promised he'd lay down. He said, lay down and shut up and be a good man and you can live. Isn't that what Solomon told him over here? Yeah. It said in 1 and verse 52, it says, and Solomon said, if he be a worthy man, not one hair of his head will fall to ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he will die. So Solomon king sent and brought him down from the altar, and he came and prostrated himself before the king. And Solomon said, go to your house. That's Adonijah. But if wickedness is found in him, what's going to happen? Dead. Okay? Dead man. Cockroach stuck his head back out. All right. So let's go on. What verse are we in now? 23. All right, number 23. Anna, you want to read number 23 real loud there? All right, he sealed his fate. He spoke this against his own life. He said he has spoken this word against his own life because he said, if you're good, if you'll behave yourself, you get to live. But if wickedness is found in you, you're a dead man. Now, guess what? The rat killing I was talking about, Brother John, do you see it now?
I see it.
You see it now. All right, number 24. Brother John.
Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has confirmed me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who has established a house for me, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today. So
that's right.
Solomon sent by the hand of Benaniah, the son of Jedidiah, and he struck him down, and he died.
All right. Dead. That's where, only by Solomon's mercy was he alive anyway. But now he is not going to stop. Brother John, 26.
And so Abiathar the priest, the king said, go to Anathoth to your own fields, for you are deserving of death. And I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you were afflicted every time my father was afflicted. So Solomon removed Abiathar from being priest to the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spoke concerning the house of Eli, Shiloh.
All right. He needed to get rid of Eli's children. All right. This was the story. All right. These were old oaths and everything. You know, these oaths meant a lot back in those times. The oaths meant a lot. When the white man came into the San Joaquin Valley right here, I'm going to tell you about oaths. Okay? When a white man came into the San Joaquin Valley, there were Indians living in the valley and Indians living in the mountains and all around here. And those Indians had made treaties with each other for thousands of years. Those Indians had made treaties with the other Indians. And they would not hunt or fish in their lands. So the white man said, we want this land down here right now because we can run cattle in it. So you go up and live in the mountains. So they went up in the mountain. They put the Indians up in the mountains, and they go up there, and the Indians are starving to death. And they said, "Why are you guys starving to death? There's fish. There's food here." He says, "But we made a treaty between us and them, and we cannot break the treaty." And they said, "Well, so what? So what? Just go and hunt and fish. You don't have to die. We made a treaty." "Well, your fathers are dead. How many years ago, how many hundreds of years ago did you make this treaty?" "Well, our fathers are dead, but God's still there. God's still there. The ones they spoke the treaty to and made the words for and called God to be a witness, God was still there. God was still there. And they could not break their word to God, so they wouldn't break their word. It was an oath. It was a treaty. And then, of course, when a white man came to this country and they would make a treaty with the Indians and they just kept breaking them right and left, they said, "These people are a godless people." They said to the white man, "These people don't believe in God because they can't keep their word. They don't believe in God. If they believed in God, they wouldn't swear by God. They're going to do something and not do it." Now, here we have God involved in these treaties. In these words that were spoken, God is involved. Now, they're going to remember Jehovah. Okay? And it happens for generations and generations and generations. What you do today will affect your children for generations sometimes. How many generations will the evil person affect his child in the Bible? How far? Do you remember? How many?
Seven.
Up to seven generations that your children... How many is a generation, Brother Brett? How long is a generation?
I don't know, 7 years
ago. Well, at least 40. And then, because 4 times 7 is 280 years. Do you know anybody in your family that was alive 280 years ago?
Do I know them?
Do you know who they were 280 years ago?
Well, not that far.
Okay, that's a long time ago. But what they did, can it affect your life today?
Of course.
Yes. You don't know them. I mean, I can go back in my mother's side of the family to the Pauls, and Elatika was born in 1797. And then I know who her mother was and her father was and things. They were born in the early 1700s. But that's the end of it. I don't know anybody from there on back on that side of my family. But what they did, if the Bible is true, which it is, what they did, can it affect my life? The Bible says it can. So it does affect what they did. Does affect their children's life. All right. Number 28, Brett. I have to slow him down because he's back there by the camera and he's louder than I am. So I have to muffle him by reading. Go ahead, number 28.
Okay, 28. Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned off Adonijah.
Okay, he had followed Adonijah. What? When Adonijah wanted to become king, he had followed him.
This one really talks
to
this weird language.
Well, that's King Jim, boy. That's the Church of England. All right.
Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom, and Joab fled under the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar.
Now he goes back here, and he goes to the tabernacle, and he gets a hold of the horns of the altar right here, the sacrificial altar. And that sacrificial altar stands for what? Jesus' mercy and His forgiveness. Well, back then, if you grabbed hold of the horns of the altar, you were safe. If you could latch on to Jesus today, you're safe. But Joab wasn't. This is a technicality. There are people today that they will come and join the church and be baptized and then go right back out in the world and do anything that they want to do. And they say that they are saved. Once saved, always saved. I'm going to tell you something. That's no salvation. I did a sermon, a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, I did the insecurity of the make-believer. The insecurity of the make-believer.
Because you can think you're saved and you're not.
That's right.
Well,
you're trying to hold God to a legal term. If you say, "I confess my sin and call upon you, and I'm baptized," why, I'm going to go to heaven. But wait a minute now. If you're really saved and God's Spirit comes into your life, can you go out and live like the world? Is God going to leave you out there? All the time you're going to be out there, you're going to be miserable. You can't go do the thing the rest of the world can do and be happy. Don't ever think you can. You're capable of it. You're capable of homosexuality. You're capable of infidelity. You're all gambling, lying, stealing, robbery, murder. But I guarantee you one thing, if you do it, there is a sin unto what? Remember? There is a sin unto death. Sometimes God kills His children. What happened to those two, Ananias and Sapphira, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts? What happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they flaunted?
Oh, about the money thing?
Yeah.
They died. Yeah.
Well, just what did they do?
They told the church that they were giving a certain amount of money, and then they didn't, and they said they didn't get the right amount of money.
Now, what are these children of God?
They
evidently, they were church members. Okay? They were church members, and they were a member of the church at Jerusalem. We have an example of this. We have them in history. They're historically, their name is Ananias and Sapphira. Okay? And they, the church was, a lot of the people in the church were given selling property and giving their money to the church. This is where Marx and all them, the earliest churches were communistic in practice in a lot of ways. Okay? And that's where they get this. They held everything in common, koinon. All right, that's where you get the word communism from. All right, they held things in common. Well, Ananias and Sapphira were just, they wanted to act like everybody else, and they said, we sold everything we had, and we put all the money, here is all the money. Now, they lied to the leaders of that church. Did they? They lied to the leaders of that church. And in lying to the leaders of that church, what did they? Who did they lie to?
God.
Now, what happened to these saved people that lied?
They're punished with death.
How? What was the penalty?
Death.
Death. God killed them right there. Now, you lie to God, and you're in trouble. Joab is trying to push a technical legal little aspect of the law. Go in there and grab the horns of the altar, and you're all right. The security of the make-believer. We always talk about the security of the believer. And if you're really saved, you're going to be saved always. But a saved, a real saved person cannot go out and do what the world does. If you can do that and get by with it, the proof in the pudding is that you're not saved. Because if you're God's child, according to the book of Hebrews, He's going to whip the tar out of you and get you straightened back in line. You are not going to stay out there. It's not going to happen. All right, let's go on a little bit. Where did we end up, Brother John? Where were we? Or Brad, or who? Where were we?
I think it was...
Oh, 28. Now we're in 29. Brother Bill, can you holler out real loud now? Act like you're hollering at her out in the backyard.
And King Solomon was told Joab has fled to the tabernacle of the Lord. There he is by the altar. Then Solomon said...
Benaiah,
the son of Jehoiada, saying, go strike him down.
Go fall on him. Go strike him down. Go kill him.
Didn't
do him any good. The technicalities. I'm going to tell you what. When these people that say that I once say that I'm always say, when they come before the Lord, that won't mean nothing. The technicality won't work. All right? The technicality won't work. Number 30.
So the guys who went to the tabernacle of the Lord and said to him, thus says the king, come out. And he said, no, but I will die here. And Benaiah brought back word to the king saying, thus says Joab. And thus he answered.
Okay, hold on right there now. He said, I'm holding on. This is a legal technicality. I'm holding on to it. Mm-hmm. Once saved, always saved. The safety is on the horns of the altar, typifying Christ. And what in the world is going to happen to him, Brother Rex? Number 31.
The king said to him, do as he has spoken and fall upon him and bury him, that you may be removed from me and from my father's house the blood which Joab shed without cause.
All right, the blood which Joab shed without cause. Just recompense. All right. And verse number 32. And the Lord brought a Brad Horsher Bible.
Where?
The good one.
Oh, it's in the truck.
Okay.
I'll read it over here.
All right. Go ahead.
The Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more, righteous and better than he, and he slew them with the sword, my father David, not knowing thereof of wit. Abner, the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah.
All right. Now, he slew these men, and they were more righteous than he. All right. David had made a contract with them, too. Now, remember what I talked about the contracts a while ago? The covenants? Now, that covenant was held in David's lifetime. And what did he say to Solomon? Take care of the rat killing and the cockroach stomping.
Do it! We don't do it anymore, do we? No one's taking care of the cockroaches and the rats anymore, are they?
God is. I can guarantee you. Number 33. And so shall their blood return upon the head of Joab and the head of the on his descendants forever. His descendants? Now remember, this guy is related to David. But to David and his descendants and his house and his throne, there may be peace from the Lord forever. Then Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, went and fell upon him and put him to death, and he was buried at his own house in the wilderness. What does that wilderness stand for, do you think?
Desert.
Yeah, out in the desert. Out in the desert.
That's
yeah. The abode of wicked. The abode of the wicked. The abode of the wicked. The desert was always called the place of the abode of demons. All right. And the king appointed Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, over the army in his place. And the king appointed Zadok, the priest, in the place of Abiathar. Now the king sent and called for Shimei. Oh boy, here's another rat. Another little old black cockroach. Okay. And said to him, build for yourself a house in Jerusalem. Now he is really being graceful here, Brother Brett. He's being graceful. Build for yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there. And do not go out from it to any place. Stay there, Shimei. Let's see if you can keep your word this time. Okay? My father kept his word to you. Let's see if you can keep your word to me. For it will happen on the day that you go out and cross over the brook Kidron, you will know for certain that you shall surely die. Your blood will be upon your own head. Now we're going to find out something about this old boy. Greed gets him. Greed gets him. Shimei then said to the king, the word is good. As my lord the king has said, so your servant will do. So Shimei lived in Jerusalem for a long time. What's it say there in King James?
And what's 37 or 38?
And the last of 38.
It says, as my lord the king hath said, so will the servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days.
All right, he dwelt there for quite a while. Okay, quite a while.
In prison.
Huh?
In prison.
Yeah, basically, he was in a city of refuge. That's where he was. What does Jerusalem mean? City of peace. He would be, as long as he remained in Jerusalem, he was going to be in peace.
What does Israel mean? The struggle or preservation? What does it mean?
Israel. Prince of God. A warrior of God. Okay. Jerusalem means city of peace, and it was going to be the city of his peace. All right. Now, where did we end up there now? 39. Marilyn. Are you there?
Yes. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away from
to Achish,
son of Machir, king of Gath, and they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath.
Now, what should Shimei done? Let them stay there. Let them stay there. 3 years. Or send somebody else after them. All right. Now, Shimei needs to remember that he is a servant of the real king. And he has a covenant that he made with this king. And this is going to cost him his life. But he's 3 years. Now, he got lax in his commitment. But is the commitment still good? The word still good? Who did he make the commitment to, Brother Brett?
Well, that's the Lord.
Solomon and Jehovah. All right? Who's he going to break his word to? Solomon and Jehovah. All right? All right. So, number verse 40. Brother Brett.
And Shimonai arose and held his ass and went to Gath to Kish.
That ass there is donkey.
Okay.
That's old English.
Okay, to seek his... Can we start over again here?
Yeah.
Okay. And Shimonai arose and held his donkey and went to Gath to Kish to seek his servants. And Shimonai went and brought his servants from Gath.
Most of the time when you see the word mule or ass the King James, is talking about donkeys. It's donkeys. Those donkeys, some of them get really big. You could ride them. There's riding donkeys and everything. Now, over here, a donkey and a horse cross is a mule. Okay? And most of the times, where it says they were riding mules, they were really riding donkeys, because a mule was an illegal thing in Israel, wasn't it? Why weren't you supposed to cross a donkey and a horse?
Because they can't reproduce.
Okay, they couldn't reproduce. And they were never supposed to neuter a dog or a cat or a horse or a donkey, because they had rights of reproduction. Okay? And so the mules really weren't allowed in Israel, were they? Brother Rex.
I just wonder why David, the king, ride on a donkey.
Because the king rode a donkey, because it was an animal of peace. If you rode a horse, which was... And the Lord told him, told Israel not to multiply horses, did he? When you rode a horse to war, you rode a donkey in peace. So when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, he rode in as the King of Peace. But when he comes back in the book of Revelation, he's going to be riding a white kipos horse, shukawakam, a white horse. All right, a white charger, because a horse is an animal they ride into war. That's an animal of war, okay? An animal of war. Now, how many of you ever seen the old war bridles? War bridles. Have you ever seen a war bridle, Bill?
Straight round so they don't get tangled up.
No. How many of you ever seen a war bridle? Like from the Civil War and back, and they used to put some of them on some of the wild horses that they put on in the stagecoaches and stuff when they used to drive, and they'd have wild Mustangs they'd hook up to. No. How many of you ever seen a war bridle?
It was a
war bridle.
You could shut a horse down real quick.
You could shut a horse down. Now, Brother Bill, I'm going to remind you of this, okay? We got some stuff up here. I'm going to draw a war bridle. Now, the horses, when they went into war, there was a lot of blowing and shooting and fire going here and there and everything else. So a horse could be very hard to handle. A donkey, you can't get them into war. You know that? You can't get a donkey to go into anything dangerous. How many of you knew that?
They're too smart.
They're too smart. You can't get a donkey to go into war. He's not going to go. He's not going to go any place where it's dangerous for him to go. He's got better sense than that. A horse will just charge right on. But to hold a horse there, here's a big bridle. It's got long... Well, that's not working. Here is a bridle. All right? And here is a mouthpiece right there. And here is where you put your reins, your lines. And here it hooks onto the bridle. And the higher it is, the more leverage you have. And then these war bridles, some of them were real high like the spades. All right? And if you look at them, some of the Civil War bridles, they were like this. And they were real high. And they had high ports in them. And then they had a great big ring that went around the jaw of the horse. The horse, when they were firing and shooting, if the horse got real, you know, they had to hold the horse in check. You could pull a horse down and fall him on the ground. You know, in the movies, you have seen the old cowboy movies? They used to have bridles. If you look in there real close, and they had these great big ports on them, and they had rings that went around the lower jaw. When a horse would be running, you know, and they shot the rider, and the horse and the rider would fall. A lot of those horses that fell, they died. They would pull them, and they pull this big, long deal here, and they would pull them. It would be on the right or the left side. If you wanted the horse to fall right, you had a right long shank. If you wanted to fall in left, you had a left. How many of you knew this? Any of you know this at all? They outlawed this in the movies, by the way, because it killed too many horses. It broke their jaws, too. Now, in the war, when they were out in the cavalry, my grandfather was in World War I in the cavalry, and they had spurs on them. They had spurs. And they would sometimes put sharp points on those spurs. You know, they were pretty dull looking. Some of them had little rollers on them and everything, but some of them they had almost like knives on those things to hold your horse in line, to drive him into battle. And to keep the horse from running away, they had these things where it could just shut a horse down. Now do you know what a war bridle is, Bill? Have you seen them? Okay, now you've seen them. You go out to the museums and stuff and you see these war bridles and stuff to hold the horses in check. That's why they rode horses in the war, because but donkeys wouldn't go. Donkey's too smart. He's not going to go any place where it's unsafe. He's got more horse sense than a horse. I used to say about old Brother Madden, I said, Brother Madden had more horse sense than a wild herd of wild Mustangs. By the way, our class goes to 10:45 now. It starts at 9:30 and goes to 10:45. If you want me to go a little bit further, I can, or I can let you go. Whichever way you want to do. You doing all right? Okay, let's go on a little bit further, because it starts a little bit later now. Where did we end? 39. All right. And it came about at the end of 3 years that the two of the servants of Shimei ran away, and Ahias, the son of Machath, the king of Gath, and told Shimei, and then Shimei rose and saddled his donkey and went to Gath. And then verse number 41, and it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath, and he had returned. This old timer over. So it was told David that Shimei had gone to Gath, and he had returned from Gath with his servants. So number 42. Let's look at this. Number 42. Brother Brett.
Yes.
Number 42.
Okay. And the king sent out and called for Shimei and said to him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, now, for a certain, on the day that thou goest out and walkest aboard or abroad, and any whither, that they shall surely die.
Now, if you leave and get out of here and go anywhere, you're going to die. All right? And all that old English double talk.
And thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good.
All right. Look at that. Now, you said that the word was good. And verse 43, and why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and commanded which I have, that's commandment which I laid upon you and the Lord? And the king said to Shimei, you know all the evil which you acknowledge in your heart, which you did to my father David. And therefore the Lord shall return your evil upon your own head. You didn't keep your oath. David kept his oath. And I even kept my oath to you, but Shimei, you were unworthy of the oath, weren't you? But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and fell upon him so that he died. In other words, he went out and chopped him up. He cut his throat. He stabbed him. And thus the kingdom was established in the hands of Solomon.
Was
yep, that was his leader. That's what Joab used to be. That's what Joab used to be. So therefore we'll start next week at number 3. Did you like this? Did you learn anything in this?
Yeah.
All right, there's a lot of stuff in here. And you even get to learn about, you learned out why they didn't ride donkeys in the war, did you? They won't go. And why is Jesus coming back on a white horse?
It's a warrior horse.
Because that's a warrior horse. He's going to war. All right.
What you said earlier, 7 and 40.
They were numbers that are repeated many times in the Bible. Some of the judges ruled for 40 or judged for 40 years. You'll see so many times 40. The number 40 is in the Bible, and of course, the number 7 is a number of perfection in the Bible. Number 3, number 1, number 10. These are all important numbers in the Bible. If you really want to study the numbers in the Bible, go to the library, or maybe you can go on the internet and look up Bullinger's Numbers in Scriptures, the Numerics of Scriptures, and you will study the different numbers, what they mean in the Bible. many of the people today, when they talk about the numerics of scriptures, the numbers in scriptures, even the Bible codes and everything else, they get a lot of stuff from Bullinger. Old Gene Scott, Dr. Gene Scott. What?
The E.W. Bullinger?
No, Bullinger. 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 There were two Bullingers. Look up Bullinger's numerics of scripture or numbers in scripture. Okay? Gene Scott used to quote Bullinger all the time. He never gave him credit for it. But he used to quote, matter of fact, he even rewrote some of his books, The Witness in the Stars. He rewrote it as The Gospel in the Stars or whatever. He did a lot of these books and rewriting it. And he used to get up and talk. And I was over in John Shirley's office one day. He came walking down in the deal, and John started to come. He said, come here. He said, how well do you know Hebrew? And I said, well, I had 6 years of Hebrew. He said, man, I've been listening to Gene Scott on the radio. And he said, he had this really good sermon on the Psalms. And I said, well, it was Gene Scott teaching. I said, well, I can tell you where he got it. I said, have you got the Companion Bible? Have you got Bullinger's Bible? He said, yeah. I said, open it up to that psalm. And he opened it up. I said, there's Gene Scott's outline right there. And he said, it is. He was preaching Bullinger's sermon, but he wasn't giving Bullinger credit for it. I mean, he at least ought to quote him. Plagiarizing just a little bit. Well, thank you for your attention today. I hope God bless you with His Word. Go out and do something eternal. Brother Bill, get up here. It's your turn.